It's a long scripture today. You don't have to worry. We're not going to cover everything. I have actually a very simple but very important message from the Lord on conversations with Jesus and with one another. I've been thinking about you. I've been thinking about you. I think about you a lot, actually. Sometimes I feel very frustrated because I'm not able to really spend enough time talking with each one of you, just to talk. You know, sometimes we see each other at church and we pass by and it goes by very quickly and we say a few words, but it really isn't a conversation. But I do think about you, and I do think about how you're doing and how you're life is, and sometimes I get worried, sometimes I feel really good, you know, it goes back and forth. It's like anyone, right? We have these kind of relationships and we care about people. I just wanted to let you know that. It came out of this, but when I first thought of the scriptures for today, there was three or four in the lectionary to choose from. And I was actually thinking, you know, everybody knows the story of the Samaritan woman, so maybe I'll choose another one. And they were all wonderful to choose from, you know. But God decided this is the one to go to, and it was actually for a little bit different reason than I've ever talked about this story with, and it has to do with having a conversation. I thought, well, this is a person who has a conversation with Jesus. And it's good for us to be able to learn more about or to be more aware of the importance of conversations with each other, right? Not just, how's the weather? You know, we had a lot of snow, didn't we? You know, I mean, we did have a lot of snow, and you can talk about the weather. You know, it's also a conversation. But there's also other things that we can talk about, like how's your life, how are you doing, and really meaning it, right, and getting into a little bit of a conversation beyond what we normally do. And I think that that's what Jesus was doing here. But I first want to tell you a couple of instances of people who had conversations, and I'll begin with one that I had when I went to a nearby auto mechanic. I forget what I was having done to my car, but I was sitting in the waiting room, and this young lady came in, and she was sitting there, too, waiting for her car. And I noticed that she had a Temple sweatshirt on. And my children went to Temple University. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And to be honest, you know, I don't know how you perceive me, but I'm pretty shy in general. And I don't often feel that comfortable just talking with strangers, although I know it's important to talk with people, and sometimes it can lead somewhere. And so anyway, I said, oh, Temple, you went to Temple? And she said, yeah. And we got into a conversation talking about Temple University. Oh, my kids went to Temple. Oh, really? You know, when did they go there? And what are their names? Maybe I know them. You know, different things talking about Temple University. And then I asked her what she did, and she told me about what she did in life, you know, what her occupation was. And then she asked me what my occupation was, and so I said, well, I'm the pastor of a church down the street. Suddenly she started to get all kind of jittery and nervous. You know, she was just noticeably uncomfortable, and I didn't know what was going to happen there. It wasn't a long thing, you know, it was just obvious that she was something was going on. And so she said, ah, I have got to get back to church. You know? And it was very, the conversation went from there. You know, learned about her mother and how her mother had brought them up going to church, and that actually that her mother had fallen away from, you know, things like this. So it all came out about her life. So it wasn't just like, you know, I hope that my car is done soon, you know. So we meet people and we have opportunities to talk with people about our lives, and there are things that can happen in those situations that we can be prepared for, right? In that kind of a sense. We did keep in touch for a while, just because of the connection with Temple, and it wasn't so much with me, although I told her where we go to church and she could come, but more for my kids so that she could connect with them. And I was actually thinking in my mind it would be nice if she could talk with my kids because they were more her age and maybe they could encourage her in her faith. So you never know. There's a show that we've been watching has to do with the midwife, you know, that streaming one that talks about, and it's in London or near. Yeah, and it's called The Midwife, and it's a very interesting program. We enjoy watching it. There's a woman on there who came to work in the nunnery. She was assigned there, and so she came to, to work there to help people, women to have babies and to go to them. And anyway, she was very quiet. She was very quiet, and there was a time that came where this pastor, actually a single pastor, came to the nunnery, and he was there for a short time while he was waiting to be assigned somewhere for an apartment to open up for him to. So he was staying there with them in that building, and he was very, very talkative. I mean, he just talked and talked and talked nonstop, you know, just like to the point where no one could get a word in. You know, maybe you've been around someone like that. It's like, okay, I'm just going to give up. Just go ahead and talk. And so he was very overbearing, and it was obvious, but he was still likable. And she liked him. She was attracted to him, actually, you know. But she couldn't talk. And then something happened where there was this, they were supposed to actually meet up. He asked her for a date, and they were going to go dancing, and she was going there on her way. And then something happened on the street where the pastor was interacting with these people that were fighting and trying to break up a fight. And that brought out in her an old memory, and so she ran away, and she didn't meet him. And he thought, you know, she didn't want to, you know, have anything to do with him, and that's why she didn't go there. But anyway, before it happened was that they had this conversation where he was, you know, he saw her, and she knew that he was waiting for her, but she didn't know what to say because she had trouble talking. And what happened as a result of that story is that she had a very abusive thing happen in her life that kept her from talking, and she was afraid of talking. And so that was why she wasn't able to express herself in any kind of way with him. But he, in her admitting that to her, to him, and he was able to have this conversation about what happened, she was able to be freed and trusting, just like Christopher Robin and Pooh, freed up inside so that she would trust someone and be able to talk to them. And what he said to her was, "You are very brave." And that instilled in her the freedom that she needed to be able to open up and to get over the abuse in her life because she trusted in this kind person who talked a lot. So people are different, right? People talk, 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 and there's something going on in their lives. He said, actually, I talked and talked and talked and talked because there were problems between my parents, and so I always talked to cover up all the other things that were going on. Right? So talking with people is something we need to look into, because it's not just the surface, it's not just like so that you can talk, it's so that we can be healed, so that we can be encouraging, so we can use the things that God gives to us in our speech so that it'll bring fruit. Right? There was a time in my life when if I talked about some of the things that happened in my life, I would shake uncontrollably. You know, and that was a very, very upsetting thing to me. But Jesus healed me. He really healed me. He came in and healed me because it took time. But over time, he will heal you. And so he comes into this woman's life at the well. And we're not going to cover everything having, you know, to do with this story here, but I want to focus on a couple of things. First of all, she was going to the well at a time of the day to avoid people. Right? You probably heard that, right? She went at a time when she was going there and she didn't. So chances are, you ever had a feeling like when you're going somewhere to be alone and then there's other people there and you're like, oh. She probably had that kind of a feeling. Oh, there's this guy there. Oh well, I'll just go about my business, I'll get my water and I'll go home. And then Jesus starts a conversation, right? He says, give me a drink. Kind of a strange thing to me, like to see, think like, okay, give me a drink. And she picks up on that opening, right? And says, why are you, you know, a guy and also a Jew asking me, a Samaritan woman, to give you a drink? You know, and it goes on from there. But what Jesus does in the course of this conversation is take her from her life and what's going on in her life and bringing her into spiritual life. So the worldly life and bringing her into the spiritual life, and that conversation has that direction in it. And so that's really what I feel is the big message here for us, is to have, we have opportunities to talk with people and we have our personalities, whatever it is. You may be quiet, you may be talkative, you may be, an introvert, you may be an extrovert, but everybody can talk. It's just about the situation, right? So what Jesus does is that he leads her into what's important and what's going to be making a difference in her life, taking from the worldly, looking at water as just water, and turning it into what it really is, spiritual water, living water, right? And that living water that he talks about, he says, you know, if you knew who I was that was talking to you, you would have asked me and I would have given you living water. Take that on for a second, okay? Chew on that for a little bit, everyone, right? And if we have that opportunity and we know this story, like, and we know what's being said here, then those are the things that God is desiring for us to think about. And it's on all kind of different levels, right? But it has to do with living water. If you look at the book of John in chapter 7, verses 38 to 39, it says this. Actually, from 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so it's really the living water is the Holy Spirit. Right? She needs the Holy Spirit. She needs that in her life. Right? Jesus knows everything about her, right? And he guides the conversation in that direction by saying to her, you know, bring your husband here. I don't have a husband. I know you don't have a husband. In fact, you've had five husbands and the one that you're with now is not your husband. Right? So there's this kind of a direction there, and a lot of people will pick up on that and start talking about, you know, what it means to be really married and not to be living with someone and things like that. But I think that there's more there than that. What Jesus is saying to her is that he knows her story, right? And he knows what she needs. Because if you have five husbands, right? there's something that is in need of attention there. There's something there of a spiritual nature that is going to come in, that is going to come into that person's life and show them what's important. And so we have to be willing to go there in our conversations sometimes, to talk about spiritual things. I'll just go with what God put on my heart. I have a friend named Scott, who's my best friend in high school. Actually, I don't know why I said that. He was my friend since elementary school. And he and my family knew each other, and also, we developed a friendship. And we spent a lot of time together. I mean, I spent more time there than I did at my own house. And his family was very inviting, and they loved me, and I loved them. And so I developed this relationship with him. But they went to a church that was a cult, right? And I was always concerned about that. And being a young person, you know, being a friend and also having that kind of a relationship, I was very shy about even mentioning something, you know, like, you're in a cult. You know, you're involved in something that isn't right. I wasn't able at that point in my life to be able to talk in that way with them. But I had this one conversation with my friend. We were both staying in a hotel. His parents took us to Washington, D.C. or Philadelphia. They took us different places. It may have been Philadelphia. And we were talking at night in our room. You know, the light was out. We were going to go to sleep. And he asked me a question about what I thought about life and about God. And I was terrified. I was terrified. I was lying there and I was thinking, how am I going to, because all these things went through my mind. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing to him. But I did say something to him. And I did say what I felt. But you know, those kind of opportunities are really, really important. You know, those kind of, and they do come up. Right? What do you think about life? What do you think about God? What do you think about this? You know? And his cult taught that sin did not exist. His cult taught that death does not exist. Now this we were in middle school. Okay? We were in middle school talking about these things. And that was what they believed. That's what they were taught. They read the Bible, but somehow through a false teaching of a woman named Mary Baker Eddy, they were taught that sin does not exist and that death doesn't exist. And that is the opposite of what we understand, right, as Christians. And so there's this people that are in our lives that are hearing lies that are leading them to death, to die for their sins, to not hear the good news, to not know the spiritual living water that exists in Jesus Christ. And so what I feel is important for us is that, yes, we develop relationships and we live in the world, but we need to be in tune with the fact that we are witnesses of God and he is going to bring people into our life that need him. You can count on it. It's not just my story, okay? It's your story. Each one of us has a different kind of a gift, right? A different kind of a life, a different kind of experience. And God brings people into your life that have the need to hear what you have in Christ. You can relate to them with what your life is, your work, your place of work. You are there for God's purpose, not your own purpose. It's not a temporary work until you want to do some kind of mission work or some kind of a thing like that. That is your work. And it's a wonderful work. And it's a wonderful opportunity. And every day of our lives is a wonderful opportunity. But God comes into your life in this story, and this is really what I feel is one of the main points here, that Jesus, we're reading about this woman's life, But we are to apply it to our own lives and see that Jesus does this in our life. He spoke to her about what she needed to know in her life. He speaks to you and me in our lives and talks in a way. So we need to be in tune with the conversation that he's going to have so we can be alert to the conversation he's going to have with us. He knows exactly what is going on, but he loves us and he wants us to be reconciled. He wants us to be reconciled with the Father. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, coming up much more. But it's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in a relationship with one another, going into our lives and reconciling us from the sins that we have in our world, in our lives, and being forgiven of our sins and being given eternal life. But the living water inside of you, is there living water inside of you? Or are you just still thinking water is something you drink so that your body can physically grow and stay well? There's a spiritual emphasis in the Bible. We need it. We can't live without it. You can try. Many people in the world, I'm looking around and I hear all these people out there and they don't know what in the world they're doing. And they think they do. They think they do. They think that they can just go out and they can talk about it, and they can even be around Christians and they can be around people that are godly and think like, oh wow, I'm a Christian too. And then they do these incredibly sinful things and associate themselves with people that are incredibly sinful people, that are worldly people, that are going for the world only. And they feel like, I'm safe, but they're not. I mean, we have to look at it through God's eyes, right? There are things going on around us that are just so horrible. And yet they're saying that I know what I'm doing. Right? So we have to be wise, and we need wisdom from God. Right? We need wisdom from God to be able to do that. And so Jesus comes to her and he tells her about her life and what is her reaction. It's like that girl that I met over at the auto mechanic. She's kind of like, you know, she's becoming a different kind of a person. Wait a minute, what is this going on here? And he tells her finally, I am the Son of God talking to you right now. And brothers and sisters, we cannot read this and feel like this is just something that happened at that time for her. We need the Holy Spirit, right? We need the Holy Spirit to be teaching us that this is true for us. I'm not reading stories in the Bible just to learn about what happened then. I'm learning about things in the Bible for me today where I am. Right? And you and I are giving these words to look at our hearts first and think, where am I? Have I been trying to put one over on God? You can't. You can't. Let me just tell you again, you can't. You can't put things over on God. He knows what you're thinking and what you're doing. We need to be truthful, spirit and truth. Spirit and truth, worship, spirit and truth. That just doesn't mean you come into church here and put a lot of energy into your worship and have a great worship time. It means your life is centered around spirit and truth. And God is going to come into your life and show you where you're not living in spirit and truth to save you and to bring you back where you should be. He's the shepherd who looks for the sheep and brings them into the fold. And so, brothers and sisters, if you are now at the point right in your life where you are running, where you're trying to hide, or you're trying to be something else that isn't spirit and truth, then give your life to Christ now. Don't do it any longer, because you're forfeiting the greatest thing in life. Right? She runs home and she tells other people, and she said, I met someone who told me everything I did. You know, I mean, and that is what they responded to. And they go out there and they see and they say, now we believe not because you told us so, but because we saw him and we met him and we heard him and we know that it's the truth, and they were saved. Right? And it's the same kind of thing for us. We need to have that relationship with God so that we're saying, I want to walk with Jesus. I want to have that friendship. I want to have that closeness. I told you I was thinking about you, right? I think, you know, I relate myself also to people because I have been shown such kindness and also been set straight by people who care about my life. Not just saying, I really love you, John. I love you. You know, you're a really good, you know, I really, you know, feel like this about you, and you have this, and you, I like this about you, and you're gonna really go places. I've had people say that to me, but I felt very, very insecure about that because I was thinking, what is really life about? Is it about me? Is it about me and my life and what I want to become? Is it something like your people are saying, you know, keep singing and keep doing this and you have a gift like that? And meanwhile, I'm looking at my heart of hearts and I'm saying, God, I am lost. I have gifts. Yes, I have gifts. But I sat in my sister's room before we went to Germany and I cried out to God and I said, what do you want me to do with my life? And I had this education in singing and all these goals to go to Germany and be a singer. And I had absolutely no idea what I wanted in life. Because I was listening to other people say, you can do this and you can do that and you're gonna, oh, they're gonna really like that. You know why? Because they were talking about worldly things. They're talking about worldly things, not things of the Spirit, not things having to do with God. So you have to listen to God. You have to have a conversation with him. And if it's out of exasperation, so be it. If it's in a quiet way, so be it. It's whatever way that you feel the Holy Spirit leading you to do, but do it. Don't suppress the Holy Spirit in your life. Right? Nicodemus, I'll just talk briefly about him. Okay. Nicodemus is not far away from this story. It's a little bit earlier. But it's the same kind of thing, and I just want to point that out to you, okay? Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he was curious about Jesus. You know the story, right? A man, the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these kind of signs that you do unless God is with him. And what does Jesus do? He takes him into the spiritual. I'm not talking about the things that I can do, Nicodemus. Let's not talk about the things that I can do and that I'm a person like you just described. A teacher come from God. No. I am God. And I came here to save the world from sin. Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you see how Jesus takes him to the spiritual? And you and I, if we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and if we are Christians who follow Jesus, and we are Christians who love the Lord, the Father, then we also need to be able to say to people, let's get things straight, okay? Not in an unkind way, but in some way that God shows you to say it. You have to say, you're thinking about things in this way when you're talking with me, but I'm thinking in a way that has to do with spiritual things. And they have to do with what Jesus is doing and what God is doing in my life and also the Holy Spirit. That's where I can relate to you better. Born again. You have to be born again. And listen to the worldliness that comes through here, okay? There's the same thing with the Samaritan woman saying, give me some of this water because I'm tired of, you know, this living water because I'm tired of having to go to this well and get water. Right? Completely, completely physical idea and worldly idea. And Jesus says, I'm not talking about this water. I'm talking about living water. And so Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And so Jesus takes him to the spiritual. No, I'm not talking about that. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born with the Spirit. And it goes on from there. How can these things be? Jesus takes him into this whole spiritual lesson for him, this man. And he says to the man, how is it that you're a leader of the Jewish people and you don't know this? It's in the Word of God. It's in the law. It's in all the things that you've been learning, and you should be aware of this. We're talking about spiritual things here. And he's coming up to him and saying, how can I go back into my mother's womb? Completely lost the point, right? It's about being born again, receiving life from God through Jesus who died for our sins. And that's what it's about. And he leads him into this realization. And Nicodemus was there at the end when Jesus was crucified. And we believe that he was a believer. So he knew there was something different about Jesus, right? And so when we have these conversations, we're helping people. It's great to have friends. It's great to have people in your lives. It's great to have these kind of things in your own families. But it's time sometimes to have the talk. I want to sit down with you, son, and I want to have a heart-to-heart talk. Do you understand the spiritual things that Jesus is teaching us in the Bible? But it begins with yourself. Are you able to see that you need to be born again? That you have to be born again, a new creation in Christ, and only he can bring that about. Right? We are new creations in Christ Jesus. And then we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we go to people and share the gospel with them so that they know that there is a Spirit and there's truth and there's hope and a direction in life. So please think about these things and become aware through the Lord's leading today in the gift of conversation. I see so much in you. You know, and I'm not important, but I am your friend. And I see a lot in you that is going to bring, in your special way, poetry, music, dance, medicine, science, whatever it is that you're in, whatever you're doing, that you're bringing those conversations into your life to talk to people, to show that God loves them and that he has a plan for their life and that he's going to give them living water so that they're never thirsty again. You with me? Amen? It's not always easy, but we have each other to encourage one another and to talk together, have conversations, encourage each other that way, care about one another's lives. That's the church. That's what it's about, you know.